For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Andre Reed, 2014 Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you are listening to the Pro Football Chase podcast.
Hey, this is Trey Hendrickson, defensive end for the New Orleans Saints, and you're listening to the Pro Football Chase podcast.
Hey, this is Micah Kaiser, linebacker for the LA Rams. You're listening to the Pro Football Chase podcast.
This is Washington guard Wes Schweitzer, and you're listening to the Pro Football Chase podcast.
Hey, it's Eric Harris, safety for the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to Pro Football Chase podcast.
It is Tuesday, March 2nd, and I have Alabama long snapper Thomas Fletcher joining the Pro Football Chase podcast as he continues to train for the upcoming NFL draft. Thomas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm here in beautiful Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Just enjoying my time. Just got out of a workout and got some food in my system. Feeling pretty good, man.
That sounds good. It's been a nice day over here in Texas as well. Temperatures in the mid-60s. And we are off and running in March, Thomas. So time is flying by. The NFL draft coming up at the end of April. And so before we talk about your training and how you're preparing for the next level, I want to go back to your high school days and when you committed to the Alabama Crimson Tide. You were widely considered as one of the nation's top long snappers coming out of IMG Academy and chose Alabama over a bevy of schools, including Florida State, Oregon, and Texas A&M. Looking back on that decision, how satisfied are you with how things turned out?
I mean, I could not be any more satisfied than I am, honestly. When you're at that age and you're trying to make a decision, you know, you got a lot of different people in your ear trying to push you in one direction or another. And I can tell you, had I gone anywhere but the University of Alabama, like, and I knew this when I was in high school, I would have spent the whole time wondering what it would have been like to play for Nick Saban and to play for the University of Alabama. And obviously, you know, we've enjoyed a ton of success in the time that I've been here. You know, I played in 55 consecutive games in college and we won 51 of them. You know, it was a career that, you know, I never dreamed really of playing at this level of football, but the fact that I got to experience it and to be a part of an organization that taught me more than I could have ever imagined, not only in football, but in life itself. You know, I got to have a very intricate view at what a Fortune 500 company looks like in terms of, you know, what we do, because this program is by all means, you know, the top of this level of football and the top of this level of athletics. And so, you know, the experience as a whole was absolutely phenomenal. I could not be any more satisfied and I could not be any more proud to, you know, forever have my name tied to the University of Alabama.
I want to ask you some more questions about the Alabama football program, but before I get there, Thomas, I want to ask you, when did long snapping become a thing for you?
Yeah, so my dad actually snapped in college and snapped for a short time in the NFL. And so when I was growing up, it was always something that I knew about that other kids didn't. You know, that's basically what I knew about long snapping, was there was this thing that my dad did and that he did well, and nobody really knew what it was except for me. And it was, you know, I didn't take to it at a super young age because obviously it's not that cool with your friends when you're 8 or 9 years old and everybody wants to be a quarterback or a running back or whatever. And, you know, I'm the kid that's there wanting to be a long snapper. But, you know, once I kind of got later into middle school and especially my freshman year of high school, you know, I was playing freshman football and I was like, I want to play varsity. You know, what's my quickest route to playing varsity? What's my quickest route to having an actual impact in, you know, what was going on with that program at that time? And, you know, my dad was like, dude, long snap. And so I got obviously more interested in it and started going to Rubio long snapping camps and, you know, really kind of honing in on that one deal. And, you know, my end of my freshman year, I got to play in a junior varsity game as just a long snapper. Didn't have to play tight end, didn't have to play linebacker or anything like that. And was like, this is a lot better than the other stuff I was trying to do. And just kind of ran with it from there, you know, kind of, you know, I say I didn't get super into it when I was young, but once I chose to get into it, it was kind of love at first sight, man. You know, it was just everything about it, from the mental perspective to the physical perspective. It was all stuff that kind of lined up with how I wanted to play the game. So it was, you know, that's probably the, in a long-winded way, that's kind of how I got into long snapping.
Thomas, do you carry a little bit of that long snapper swag to you, man? You know, you talked about it, long snapper, special teams, kicker, punter. They don't get a lot of attention. You don't get the same publicity. But how have you owned the long snapper vibe?
I think that just kind of comes down to owning the long snapper vibe. I mean, it's what I do, man. Like, I don't think of it as long snapping, like, oh, he's a long snapper. Like, by all means, in my perspective, and not everybody has to look at it like this, but, you know, I'm a part of a football team. You know, it's my role in the team, and it's my role to help the organization be as successful as it can possibly be, because, you know, whether people like it or not, you need a guy that can do it in order to be able to punt the ball. And, you know, controlling vertical field position, it can be the difference between winning and losing games, and making field goals and making all your PATs can be the difference between winning and losing a game. And so, like, you know, I take it as serious as a heart attack. You know, it's a very, very big part of my life, probably the biggest part of my life. And, you know, people try and talk down to you, like your teammates, especially when I was younger, that would try and talk down the fact that I played the position. I mean, stand up for yourself, be willing to fight for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, It really just comes down to being comfortable with who you are, not really taking it personally, and realizing that, you know, to the outsider or to a teammate, it's probably, you know, not the most important thing, but if it's important to you, like, let it be important. You know, it's supposed to be important. It's what you do and it's what you bring to the table. And if it happens to be long snapping, I mean, make it your thing, man. Just own it.
Well said right there. Let's talk about the coach that you played for at Alabama, Nick Saban. How did you enjoy playing for him, and how did he push you to become the best version of yourself?
Dude, there is not another human being on the planet that I could even begin to compare to Coach Saban, just in everything that he does. Like, I mean, you talk about a commitment to excellence, and, you know, he talks about, like, our five kind of words that we base our program around are discipline, commitment, effort, toughness, and pride. He embodies the principles and values of the organization as well or more so than anybody who's ever been a part of it. You know, it's like he would never ask you to do something that he would not be willing to do himself. And there is no situation that anybody in the building, from the coaching staff to the players, will ever come across that he has not been a part of himself. You know, it's like you talk about a fearless leader, an experienced leader, somebody who just knows how to win and wins by getting the absolute most out of everybody who is a part of his organization. Like, that's the greatness of Coach Saban. Is it's hard to put into words. And just being around him and being around his organization, it makes you want to be the best at everything you do. I mean, it affects you on the field for sure. You know, you obviously want to, I don't want to say please coach, but I mean, you want to live up to his standard. You know, you want to be the best possible version of yourself as it pertains to football. But he is also adamant about the fact that you need to be the absolute best version of yourself off the field, whether that's your relationship with your family, whether that's how you approach school, whether that's how you approach whatever is important to you. You know, it's his life's mission, and it's his mission for us to be the absolute best at everything that we do, regardless of what that is. So, I mean, Coach Saban, I cannot say enough about what he has done for me. And, you know, I will, it was by far the greatest honor of my life to be a part of his organization. He's an incredible, incredible coach and an incredible human being.
Well, it certainly reflects the success he's had there at Alabama. And, of course, the high volume of players that have gone through that Alabama football program and have become all-pro players and pro bowlers and perennial powerhouse players that all come from that Alabama football program. So, Thomas, you were perfect on all snapping duties across your four seasons at Alabama, started every game of your career, two-time national champion, not one, but twice you were part of a national title team. What does all that mean to you?
It's hard to put into words, honestly, but I would say like the best way that I can describe that experience is like when I look at the fact that I was a part of two teams that accomplished what our goal was every single year, which is to win a national championship. It's to be a champion. It's to do the things that we are asked to do, which will lead us to, you know, the ultimate goal that we all have for ourselves. And the feeling of accomplishment in everything, because like I don't look at a championship as, you know, we won a game and got a trophy for it. It's everything that went in to winning those championships. It's everything that you go through in the off season, during the season, because I mean, you don't just show up one day and win a championship. It starts. I mean, if our season ended on January 11th, the next season probably starts like January 25th, and you're in the weight room working out and you're on the field running. And then you go through spring ball, you go through the summer workout program, which is, I skipped a thing. You go through the fourth quarter program in the winter, which is basically just to, you know, test who you are as a human being. And then you go through spring football, and then you go through the summer program, which is our conditioning program, which is just to get you in the best possible shape they can get you in by the time you hit August. And you hit August and you go through fall camp for a month where it's, I mean, you don't see a soul that's not involved in the program for a month. And then you go through a 14 game season where you're playing games every week. You're in the building every single day of that, you know, however many months it is. If you're fortunate enough to get to the SEC championship, that's an extra game. Play the SEC championship. You might get to go home for Christmas for a day. Maybe depending on how it works out, you're probably going to have practice for the playoff on Christmas. And then you play the playoff game, and then it's a turnaround of, you know, 10 or 12 days, and you're playing another game, and then you win a national championship. So like when I look at the 2017 team of winning a championship and being, you know, a part of the team and, you know, thinking as a young guy, like, well, you know, this is what we do. We win championships. And then going 2 years without winning another one. And finally, you know, you're a senior and it's the seniors team. We got a lot of really, really good leadership from our older guys on the team this past year, which greatly attributed to our success. You know, it was the fact that it was our team, and we went through a year that none of us could have pictured, obviously, with everything that went into it. And you go through, you know, the years and trials and tribulations that you go through, and, you know, next thing you know, you're on the field in Miami winning your second national championship. So it's the lessons that I learned through that process are ones that I'm going to get to take with me through the entirety of the rest of my life, and ones that I can apply in other aspects of my life.
Talk about the pressure that you have to overcome as a long snapper, especially in big moments such as the title game.
Pressure, I forget who said it, but there's a quote about like pressure comes from when you find yourself in a position of which you are not prepared for. I fully believe in that. You know, I mean, I've snapped thousands and thousands of balls in the time that I've been in college and before college. And, you know, once you get in a game and you bend down and look through your legs and the punter standing back there, he looks exactly the same as he does in practice. He looks exactly the same as he did in the summer. When you bend down and you look at the holder looks exactly the same as he did in practice. It's the same distance. It's the same snap. It's just, you know, are you there to do your job? Have you put in the preparation that you needed to put in by the time you get into that moment? So, I mean, like as far as pressure goes, you know, I've never really gotten over a ball and been like, oh, I hope I snap it well. I'm going into a game saying, you know, what do I need to do to help our team win? How do I help in whatever way that I can help put us in the best position, you know, to win the game that we're playing? And the best thing that I could do is, you know, snap good balls and put them on the hip and put them on the holder's elbow and just, you know, do my job. And that's my role. And that's, you know, just it's what I do.
Well, that's a great response for a long snapper that has taken home many accolades throughout your college career. You were the Patrick Manley Award winner, presented annually to the nation's top long snapper, and picked up first team All-America honors from Rubio Long Snapping in 2020. How much do you cherish those accomplishments?
I mean, I can't even describe how much I cherish it, honestly. You know, the fact that there is an award now for snappers is, first off, I think a phenomenal thing. And the founders of the award, Patrick Manley, Chris Rubio, and Kevin Gold, have done a phenomenal thing for long snappers, and, you know, are continuing to try and put the position on the map. Because, you know, as I've mentioned earlier, long snapping might not mean a ton to a lot of people, but the people that it means something to, it means a whole lot, you know. And so, like, just to have an award be representative of what we as a, you know, long snapping community do is absolutely phenomenal, first and foremost. But to actually win the award with a namesake like Patrick Manley, with people involved like Kevin Gold and Chris Rubio, I could not feel more blessed, and I could not feel more honored to have received that award. And, you know, I'm, again, just very, very excited that it's now in the public, and it's something that, you know, snappers who come after me can aspire to win, and they should aspire to win.
So recently you played in the 2021 Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, which is an all-star game for the top seniors throughout the entire nation. How was that experience beneficial for you?
That experience was fantastic for me in a big way, due to the fact that, you know, punt formations in college and the NFL are night and day different, just due to the rules. Like, in the NFL, the only people that can release before the ball is kicked are the two end men on the line of scrimmage, which is, you know, 99% of the time it's the two gunners, the right and left gunner. In college, there's no rule about when you can leave. As soon as the ball snapped, all, you know, 10 guys except for the punter can take off and run if they want to. I mean, obviously that doesn't happen a whole lot because you got to protect the punt still, but, you know, spread punt is more geared towards the rules of college football versus the NFL punt is geared towards the rules of professional football, which is, you know, in college you snap and take off and run down the field. In the NFL, you got to snap and set and block, and you have calls that are much different from college, and you need to recognize formations, and you need to recognize if there's going to be a pick twist, a looper, or whatever, you know, what the box count is. And so that's, you know, we ran that punt my freshman year at Alabama, but it obviously had been 3 years since I had done it live. I'd practiced it on my own, but to actually put it in an 11-on-11 setting was widely, widely beneficial for me. Just to get, you know, back in the groove of doing things and back in the groove of, you know, talking pro punt terminology. And then just being around the Carolina Panthers coaching staff, you know, they were fantastic for all of us. And, you know, just taking the time to teach us what was going to be important going forward for us. And Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, he was phenomenal. And, you know, like, you got to think, this guy had 100-something kids from across the country in the middle of a global pandemic. A lot of these kids hadn't even gotten to play a football season. He was able to get them all to Mobile, Alabama in order to play an all-star game, which at the beginning of the season, a lot of people never thought would happen. And I think even the closer we got to being able to play the Senior Bowl, a lot of people didn't think it was going to happen. But, you know, they pulled it off, and it was incredibly, incredibly beneficial for everybody who was involved in it. You know, it was a fantastic experience, and we learned things at the Senior Bowl that we're going to get to take with us all as we move forward in our careers.
Thomas, were you able to interact with any team executives at all there?
Hit and miss. Only teams are only allowed to send 10 people per organization, I believe. And that obviously at that point in the process, or in this point in the process, you know, teams are trying to evaluate their position guys. And so a lot of the interviews were geared towards the quarterbacks, the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, corner, safeties, running backs, all those type of guys. But, you know, my benefit, as I said before, to the Senior Bowl was getting to, you know, interact with the Panthers coaching staff who coached our team, and getting to get back in the groove of pro punt and professional football terminology.
You received an official invite to the 2021 NFL Combine. Although things will look a lot different this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic, I saw you post about it on your social media accounts. What does that recognition mean to you, considering the limited number of players that are granted acceptance there every year?
Well, I've grown up every single year from as far back as I can remember, watching the NFL Combine on TV and seeing it in Indianapolis and being like, you know, those are the guys, you know, it's the NFL Combine, man. You know, it's like you grow up hearing about it. And I remember sitting there watching it with my dad and, you know, just kind of being in awe of the opportunity that those guys had. And, you know, to be a part of that, even if it's not going to be in person, even if it's not going to, you know, we're not going to go to Indy and do everything, we'll be, you know, doing the same stuff here for our pro day when we do it in Tuscaloosa. But just, you know, I remember when I got the email and it said, you know, official 2021 NFL scouting combine invite. I was with my family and I like dropped my phone. I said, I actually got invited to the NFL combine as a long snap. Like just the feeling of accomplishment was, I feel so unbelievably blessed just to have the opportunity. And it's absolutely a dream come true.
Well, it certainly is, and something that you have deserved through your hard work and your excellence at Alabama. And now you're preparing your training for the upcoming NFL draft. Walk me through, what does your training schedule look like? What are some things you're working specifically on to improve your game as a long snapper?
So the big thing, you know, a big part that I've learned about just in the past couple weeks of combine preparation and pro day preparation is you're sort of learning how to prepare for the test that you're going to be put through, i.e. the 40, L-drill, 5-10-5, things like that. And so it's just kind of learning the form, because unless you were doing it in high school, there's not really a chance that you would have to learn the form of a pro day drill. You know, when you do it in the off season as a conditioning thing, it's not about the form, it's about condition. It's about, you know, getting as many guys through as you can get, and then you move on to the next thing. And so just kind of learning, you know, that there are specific steps that you take when it comes to L drill, when it comes to the 5-10-5, your 40 stance is much different from, you know, the stance that you get in when you're running 16 110s in the summer. And, you know, from a snapping perspective, it's again, trying to get my steps down in terms of blocking, you know, obviously throwing a good ball, but then just continuing to watch film. We do a great job at Alabama with, you know, giving players access to NFL film if they want to watch it. And so I'm able to go up in the offices and watch NFL film and get back to knowing the terminology, pick the brain of our coaches and, you know, past coaches that we've had here that are coaching at the NFL level, and just kind of get an idea of, you know, what you're walking into and what you need to do in order to put yourself in the best possible position when pro day comes.
Now, a question out of curiosity, what has your relationship been like with kickers, holders, and punters throughout your football career? I'd imagine you all have strong chemistry.
You spend it, I think it would put a lot of people in awe of how much time a snapper and a punter and a snapper, a holder, a kicker spend together throughout the year. You know, it's not just, you know, you show up like in high school, you show up for football season and, you know, like I'm going to snap because I'm the long snapper. Well, who's going to hold? And oh, this kid plays soccer, so he's going to kick. You know, you spend like all the time that I talked about earlier that goes into winning a championship, it also goes into putting yourselves in the best possible position to perform. And when you go through the training process that you go through with people, I mean, you naturally grow to become friends off the field. And, you know, we were fortunate to have an unbelievable kicker in Will Reichert this past season, who obviously didn't miss a kick. And, you know, just to have the success that he had and to get to be a small part of it, you know, I mean, we grew really, really close. And our holder, obviously, Mac Jones, is, you know, he and I are very close. And then, you know, our punter this past season, Charlie Scott, who I actually snapped to his brother, J.K. Scott, who now punts for the Packers. He was our punter my freshman year. And then it turned out that his little brother was my punter our senior year, you know? And so it's just the relationships that you build at a position that is, you know, for a lot of people, an afterthought, is pretty special, you know, and they're relationships that I'll have for, you know, the rest of my life.
And lastly, what is your message to NFL teams about your character and what you can bring to the organization, both on and off the field?
A message, I mean, just straight up, I'm pretty much willing to die for this game, you know. And I mean, I know that sounds dramatic, and I don't know of a less dramatic way of saying it, but you know, this game is my life. You know, as a football player, you're kind of in my opinion, a position of service and a position of putting yourself and the people around you in the best possible place to be successful. And you know, I've given my life to this game, and I'm going to continue to give my life to this game. And it's just, you know, being a football player is who I am, and it's who I aspire to be. And I want to be the absolute best version of myself in doing that.
Well, there you have it. It's Thomas Fletcher, standout All-American long snapper from Alabama. He's now getting ready to make the jump to the NFL. I appreciate your time this day, Thomas. I look forward to seeing you snapping on Sundays when the time comes. Keep up the great work.
I appreciate you for having me on, man.
All right, take care and God bless.
All right, you as well.